the pipes and drums of the Angus Prune Battalion beat a hasty retreat, it's time once more for those lone pipers of the air. Timbrook Taylor, John Cleese, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Joe Kendall and Bilotti. So, without more ado, and rather a lot of nothing, here's John Otto Cleese.
Oh no, it's Anne. Sorry, I'll read that again, Mother. Again.
Television cookery experts have always been highly successful personalities.
Yes.
We wondered what it would be like if they were ever cast in a radio play.
Oh, I didn't know.
Now, I say that to justify the next sketch. But you and I know that this is just an old excuse for lots of cookery puns. Now, listeners may be interested to know that the BBC's official entry for the Eurovision Pun Contest will be selected from the following playlet. Well, let's go then, and please remember, television cookery experts and radio plays. We start with the title of the play, Pots and Puns.
That was pun number one. Pun number one.
Boiled beef and carrots, boiled beef and carrots. Who's there?
It's me, Lord Stilton. May I have entree to this joint?
Well, of course. Large, you're dripping. You'll be kitchen, your death of cold.
Thanks. I got caught in the rain, dear.
Come, taste yourself at the fire. Excuse my cooking apron.
You always look a tasty dish, Meg, whatever the dressing.
There you, menu. You're always flattering.
No, I mean it. You're a lovely bit of crackling. I could eat you all up.
I mistrust men who are too fresh. They soon go off.
I admit it. In the past, I was a loose liver.
You've certainly got an awful reputation.
But I've simmered down now. It's only when I'm with you my heart starts boiling over, Meg. Oh, Meg! You drive me off my nut, Meg. Don't give me the cold shoulder.
Oh, you'll get over it. It's just a flash in the pan.
No. Let us be married. I'll be true to you. To the end of my days.
This is so sardine. Yeah. You're just not my cup of tea.
Oh, you've got a cruel, cold tongue. I suppose the truth is you've got other fish to fry.
As a matter of fact, I have.
Who?
You see, I'm in love with Police Constable Dick Dangerfield. Yes, I lost my heart the first day I spotted Dick.
Pa, the village copper. Use your loaf sugar. He hasn't got a sausage.
I know he only gets a small celery, but I'll run off with him whenever he cares to say go. You're nowhere in the right.
So, you turn me down for a penniless country dumpling.
If I make a hash of things, I'll just have to stew in my own juice, as my ma might say.
Sir, you give me the raspberry, eh? Very well, then, I shall have to start treating you like a tart.
Well, what's all? Unhand me, sir, or I scream.
At last, you get your dessert. And screaming won't help you. It'll only make me a little rasher. You shall be the mother of my child.
No, I camembert it.
Curses, there's someone at the door.
Help, the door's open. Just lift the ketchup.
Hello, hello. There's something fishy going on here. What's cooking?
Dick, my darling.
Oh, it's nothing, Constable. The lady was just behaving like a custard.
Behaving like a custard?
Yes, getting upset over a trifle.
Of me.
Ah, a bit of a hot dog, eh? Well, I've only got two words to say to you, sir. Irish stew.
Irish stew?
Irish stew for a salt, buttery and disturbing...
Well, there it is. How many did you get? Send your choice on a postcard by last Friday, please, to us, and the winning pun will go forward to the Eurovision Pun Contest. Now for some facts to help you understand the boring song that follows. Bill Oddie and Graham Garden are 26 years old. Dave Lee is 42. Round the hips.
When you're getting very, very old, like me, you begin to reminisce.
What was he do, boy?
That's right. Trying to remember how it used to be. I think of all the things I miss. Oh, what a happy time when we were in our prime. Now, let me see, about 43, I guess.
Maybe a little later, though.
That's right. When you were just about 18 months.
Oh, 18 months.
And I was rather late.
Now, hold on, boy.
time I miss the good old days
of bassinets and fluffy dogs.
The good old days
of alphabets and gollywogs.
Oh, hello, Mom, can I come back to your arms? Those were the good old days.
Bring back the good old days
of ankle socks and baby clothes.
The good old
Dr. Spock's and runny noses. Here I am, where's my breath? Sing me to sleep. Those were the good old days. And in me, I want a cozy cot and a bottle. Gee, wouldn't it be swell? Oh, take us back, please. We're gonna sing again that sweet refrain we love so well. You know the one. I love those good old days
of milk and mash and runny tummies.
The good old days of nappy rash and rubber dummies. Mend my crib, fetch my bib, warm up my rust. Oh, 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 those were the good old days. Hit me now, baby, hit me.
We'll
have a hot chair we could share, just meant for two. How happy we would be. Harmony, I'll hold you near, and in your ear I'll whisper to you, come here.
Oh, no, you haven't.
I'm afraid I have. Good old days of doting answer number two.
Scandinavia, and you may think of beautiful blondes.
Oh, may I?
Oh, certainly.
Oh, thank you, I enjoyed that.
Yes, not at all. But Scandinavia isn't all... But Scandinavia isn't all blondes and free love.
Oh, I don't mind pain.
It is also rich in history. A history of...
Blondes and free love.
No.
Oh.
A history of savagery and adventure.
Oh.
10,000 years ago was the time of the Norsemen. The Vikings taught the world navigation, but their greatest contribution to the civilized world was that they discovered America and kept quiet about it. So today we relive their adventures as we meet again the Vikings. And the 10 o'clock news follows in 1 minute. But to avoid that boring music, here it is now. The Vikings have returned from a successful raid on Paris, where they defeated all the Normans and Franks, and Pierres and Jacques. Now the French sing sadly as they hope their great emperor Charlemagne will come and rescue them.
I wonder why you keep me waiting, Charlemagne.
Meanwhile, back in Norway, the Viking chiefs have been making merry.
And Merry was loving it.
But now their hearts are heavy.
Oh, Oh, it's heavy.
Well, they have just read in the Morning Tapestry that their old king, Sharkfin the Decrepit, has finally passed away. It was not a great surprise. The old king had not been out of bed for 6 weeks. So things must have been very bad.
Or very good.
Either way, it was too much for him, and this morning his physician has pronounced him dead.
Him dead.
So now, preparations are being made for traditional Viking funeral.
Oh, come on. We're not going to have funeral jokes, are we?
Certainly not. I couldn't think of any.
Oh, but I could.
Good. Anyway, Sharkfin the Decrepit's eldest son, John Otto the Chinless, kneels before the shrine of the great Viking gods and says his prayers.
O Odin, to thy mighty domain I commend the soul of my father. Bless his family and send us a score of sons to bring forth teeming harvest. And gods, bless our tribe and give us bounty of 1,000,000 treasures. Amen. Oh, and God bless me and send me a new teddy bear.
And now let the funeral begin.
And so the funeral procession assembles at the waterside. From here I can see a great collection of Vikings and Viqueens. And there's Harald Hardrada, who got his name when earlier today he stood by the dead king and said,
Hardrada you than me.
And now the mourners, in mourning suits, of course, wring their hands. And the court poet comes forward to read a funeral poem.
Look, as he reads, his face is coming out in spots.
Ha ha! It must be an elegy.
And finally, everything is ready, and they bring out the funeral beer.
Right, let's get on with it.
Stop. It was my father's wish not to be buried in a wooden box.
Why?
He gets claustrophobia.
But it's traditional. We always bury Vikings in a barrow. It's easier to move them around.
Nevertheless, we must grant him his last request.
It's a bit late, isn't it?
No, there was one after that. He wanted to be pushed out to sea, lying on his ship in a special coffin with windows.
A tomb with a view.
Quite. And he must lie on his ship with his boots on, and we must set fire to the lot.
Ah, now this is an ironical oblique reference to an old Viking legend concerning the man who, finding his feet were cold, took off his boots and warmed them over the fire. However, they caught light and were ruined. Thus he left himself with even colder feet because his boots caught fire. This is, of course, the origin of the well-known saying, burning your bridges.
And so, I didn't understand that. And so Sharkfin was laid in his favorite boat. Still don't understand it. And then John Otto strode forward to make a last sacrifice to the gods.
Odin, for thee I must slaughter something most precious and dear to me.
Aww.
So I kill this, my sacred hen.
Come here, stupid bird.
No! Sorry.
What a terrible sacrifice.
Now, Sharkfin, you shall sail your last journey in your favorite boat. Here, I will set it alight.
Ah, he was a great warrior, but he's finally met his match.
The great ship slid away from the shore as the flames licked round her. John Otto made his very last speech.
Thank heavens for that.
Farewell, O my great and glorious father. May thy body be consumed by purest fire as thy soul flies to Valhalla. Farewell, Sharkfin. Farewell. Goodbye, father. Goodbye. Goodbye!
Cheer up!
Where's that doctor?
He was dead. I took his pulse.
Which one?
The left.
His wooden arm.
Oh!
Listen. He's shouting something at us.
Where's the fire extinguisher?
I think he's saying, where's the fire extinguisher?
In the galley, in the tin marked sugar.
Thank you.
Where's the sugar?
And so Sharkfin fought the fire.
Take that!
Until it was out.
Niner, tenner, out!
Hooray!
But by now the boat was only a speck on the horizon.
It's no good, we'll never catch him now. The wind's carrying him off his doom.
Oh, farewell, father, goodbye.
Not again.
Bear me witness.
Not on radio.
I hereby vow to sail the seas till I find my father on earth or in Valhalla. Who will come with me?
At this, the whole gathering spoke with one voice.
Not me.
Come now, you know our moral code.
The Norse code.
Quite. So to all of you, I say, The dirty duck is crawling through the plastic wombats.
Yeah. No.
What's it mean?
You must decipher it for me.
We can't.
Then I'll decipher myself. It means I must be accompanied on my journey by the most beautiful girl in our camp.
Fiona the Harlock!
And by my nearest and dearest.
Fiona the Harlock!
Well, she's not nearest, but she's certainly dearest.
Fiona had that quality most rare in Scandinavian beauties.
Ugliness.
So Fiona will come with me. Now, who else? I must have a man, too. How about you, honest Swain?
No, sir, to the foolish journey, sir. I'd rather you perish alone, sir, than me along with thee.
Huh, you filthy Swain. Olaf!
No, I'm sorry, it wasn't funny.
Look it out. John Otto was furious, but as he spat with rage, he spotted an old man.
Whoops, sorry.
It's all right. I should tread on me if you feel like it.
Oh, life is fun. Good Lord, I know that voice.
It's yours.
No, really, I couldn't accept it. But I know you. Aren't you Grimbling the Small?
Yes, I am, yes.
Oh, yes. You used to be my retainer, remember?
Ah, yeah. No?
Oh, you haven't retained very much. Remember when I was little, how I used to whip you and I loved it?
Oh, yes, and when you were bigger, I used to whip you.
And I still loved it. Yeah. And remember when I wanted to take up archery?
And I made you a lovely little target.
It didn't hurt, did it?
No, not much, except when I drink, I have to stand on my head. Otherwise, I leak.
Always looking for a good joke, never finding it.
No.
Same old Grimbling, you look the same, you talk the same, you even smell the same.
I haven't changed.
That explains it. But say, old man.
Old man.
Come with me on this voyage. Huh? Come with me on this voyage. Just say yes or no, understand?
Yes.
Good, then it's settled.
No!
Come, let's prepare. We must leave at once.
It can be dangerous in foreign lands. You'll need some protection.
True. Ethel Wuff, the dogman. May I buy one of your ferocious watchdogs?
No, I've sold them all.
You mean you've retired rich and happy and you have no dogs left?
Yes, I haven't a cur in the world.
Never mind, never mind. Why should I fear? With these three companions, Fiona the Harlot, Grimbling the Small, and my faithful old battle axe. Oh, no! Constance, the
man-eater,
my great aunt.
I'm coming, too.
I should have hit her harder. This is no journey for you, Constance. What can one woman do amongst a crew of tough and adventurous men?
Don't worry, I'll think of something.
Very well. Very well, let's be off. But first, one last prayer to the gods.
Oh, no.
A prayer to the appropriate deities, to the deity of the sea, to the deity of battle, and Fiona, to the deity of love.
You've just got a deity mind.
Thank you, and now a little deity entitled Captain. Together we sail to unknown shores.
What shores?
I'll have... A mild and bitter.
So they sailed away. And the great boat breasted the...
Stop. I'm sorry, you can't say that. There's been far too much of that kind of language on this program lately.
But I only said breath.
Ah. Perhaps you was the less erotic equivalent. Let's see. Bosom.
Bosom.
Right, carry on.
The great boat bosomed the waves. It seemed to plumb the very bowels
of... No. Internal organs.
It seemed to plumb the very internal organs of...
Organs? No. Viscera.
It seemed to plumb the very internal viscera of the sea. It shook from top to bottom.
No.
Bosom to bottom?
No. Top to,
Backside?
Sit me down.
Sit me down.
Yes.
It shook from top to sit me down.
All right.
The ship reared. Sit me down. And even the mast bust. Bosomed. But in true naval tradition...
Belly button.
But in true belly button tradition, they ran up the stern sheets.
Good. Well, you seem to have got the idea now. I'll leave you to it. Okay?
Okay. Spoil sport. 2 days out, they were appalled by the appearance of a frightful sou'wester.
Take that stupid thing off!
The clouds began to darken and the wind moaned.
Ooh, the wind.
There. Anxiously, the little crew watched the waves breaking. They managed to ride the storm.
Giddy up, storm!
But naturally, they were blown off course.
Off course.
Quite. So one night, they ran aground. The next morning, Otto was the first to realize they'd been shipwrecked.
Look, on the shore.
A group of natives.
We'd better be careful. Try and get one of them to come forward.
I'll call for their leader.
Right. Yoo-hoo!
A tall native came towards them. He was wearing only a loincloth.
He's leaving his warriors and coming by himself.
Yes, his support's pretty scanty.
You can say that again.
He's nearly here. Worth trying that plan, eh?
Yeah, I think it'll come off.
Oh, good heavens. Don't look, Fiona.
Me, bigum, chiefum, ovum, Indians, om.
Why do you keep saying om?
Speechum impedimentum. Don't laugh.
I wasn't thinking of it.
Right. Now, here's our chance. Grimbling, grab that Indian and flog him.
I'll give you 2 pence for it.
Who, you?
Me, Constance, the man-eater.
Me, big chief, standing by.
I can see that.
How?
Anywhere you like, dear boy.
Be a cannibal. Before you know where you are, he'll be nibbling your arm.
Oh, and what's for pudding, cheeky? Come here, you gorgeous native.
White woman kiss with forked tongue.
Yes, kinky, isn't it?
You play them games with me. Soon you play some special Indian games.
You fiend! You wouldn't do that to a woman.
Who else?
Makes no difference. I have no scruples.
Oh, you poor thing. Never mind.
All right, that's enough. He's gone too far. Nobody else has had a gag for 2 pages. Seize it. We've come to plant our flag.
It'll never grow 'em. Now, me take you all on to 'em big white chief 'em.
Big white chief 'em? Otto, that could be your father.
Well, tell me, is he fierce and resolute?
No.
And gentle but wise?
No.
A born leader of men?
No.
Then it's him.
Big white chief, not your father.
If you lead us to him, we'll give you lots of money.
He will welcome his son. When I got money, I happy like um song.
Now I wonder what song that is.
Surely you know it.
I think I do, yes.
When I rich eyes a smiling.
That wasn't the one.
No, it wasn't. Come, I need 'em, you too, big white chief 'em.
So they were led inland, and soon they could hear the sound of the Indian bass. It was a war dance. They edged their way down a cliff towards it, but the steps were difficult.
Slow, slow, quick, quick, slow 'em.
At last they reached the camp. And facing them was a big white wigwam.
At last, can I really believe that this tent is what I've been searching and longing for these many months?
Yes, and hurry up. I'm next.
No. This house of big white chief on them.
Slowly the flap opened, and there appeared before them a gaunt figure with a headband and long flowing tresses.
Daddy! What were you doing in there?
I was loitering within tent.
That was the British entry for this year's Eurovision pun contest.
Won't win, you know.
Won't win.
Oh, well, all good things must come to an end, so don't worry, the credits will be over in just a minute. Suffice it only to say that the voices you heard were those of Timbrook Taylor, John Cleese, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Joe Ken, and Bilotti, which is enough to make you blanch, or even Ethel. The scripts were by Timbrook Taylor, Bilotti, and Douglas Young. The songs were by Bonnie Bilotti, and the music by Dolly Dave Lee, with arrangements by lovely Dave Lee. And if that isn't enough, the whole show was produced by me, David Hatch. What? Oh, all right. And Peter Titheridge. You won't believe this, but there'll be yet another edition of I'm Sorry, Read It Again next week. So to tide you over till then, here's the voice of the nation's heartthrob, John Otto Cleese.
Oh, no, it's I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again. Again.
I'm sorry. Around the world.
Thank you.